Praise the Lord. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what faith is. That is what that song was saying. Even though things might not be happening the way I expect them to happen, I will trust God. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Even though the things I'm waiting for are not happening the way I expect them to, I will worship God. Irrespective of my situation, irrespective of my circumstance, I will worship Him. I will trust Him. I will rejoice in Him. That is faith. My prayer is that as we continue in this month and beyond, our faith will be stirred up. And, you know, come what may, we'll stand bold for our God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just a few points on the announcements, particularly for the workers that were not in workers training this morning. The training program at City of Favor, the headquarters, is for workers and ministers. If you're a worker, not a professional worker, if you're a worker in the church, you should be there. There's no reason why you shouldn't be there. It's particularly for workers and ministers, but if you're not a worker, please feel free to come. You'll be blessed. But for every worker, for every minister, there's no reason for you not to be there. And God will help you as you do that. Also, regarding the Bible study on Wednesday, Kay was saying we're having a book review. We need to cultivate that habit. How many people have read a book, Christian literature, in the last 6 months? Anyone? Last 1 year? Wow. Last 2 years? You've read a Christian book in the last 2 years? Oh dear. Oh dear. It's... How many people have been on their Facebook page in the last 2 days? How many people have a Facebook page? You're on Facebook. No, I don't believe this. How many people are on Facebook? For real, show of hands, you're on Facebook. Okay, how many people have been on their Facebook page in the last 2 days? In the last 1 week? You know what some people are doing? They're raising their hands. So, yes, I've been there, but, you know, just let's cultivate that reading culture, that reading habit. It's wonderful. How do we build ourselves as Christians? During Sunday school, we're talking about, you know, the spiritual Christian as opposed to the carnal Christian. One of the things we said about the Christian is, you know, a Christian that is growing is in the spirit. So such a Christian can't be carnal. If you're growing, how do you build yourself? There's only so much we can say in church on Wednesdays, on Fridays, on Sundays. There's only so much, you know, you can be taught in church. You need to work on, you know, your Christian faith yourself. You need to work on your salvation. You need to ensure personally that you're standing firm. And nobody can do that for you. It's a conscious decision you have to make. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Question, is there anybody worshiping with us for the second time? Anyone? For the second time. God bless you. God bless you. Is anyone worshiping with us for the third time? Anyone? Do you wonder why I'm asking that question? We always celebrate it when we have someone come to worship us. worship you with us for the first time. It's wonderful. So what happens after that? We extend our love, our hospitality to them first time round. Should we stop there? No. Don't let us stop there. Does anyone know the names of the ladies that are worshiping with us today? Anyone? How many people said hi to them? Now, nobody's going to raise up their hand. I know people. How many people said hi to them? You know, Kay said, you know, let's show, you know, a warm, amazing grace welcome. How many people did that? Does anyone know their names? You do? Okay, what are their names? There were two people. Yeah. The reason I know the reason why he knows. I won't tell you guys. Because okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to bless your holy name. We thank you for the hour has come even to look into your word. We pray, Spirit of God, that you will speak to each and every one of us. The specific word for us, O God, will not pass us by this day in Jesus' name. Lord, as Samuel said in those days, that speak because your servant is listening. We pray, Lord, that we will have listening ears to hear what you would have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What's happening on Tuesday? Any ideas? Apart from Abby's birthday, any ideas?
Remembrance.
God bless you. She said Remembrance Day. Tuesday is, what date is Tuesday? 11th of November. Yes? And 11th of November is Remembrance Day. Fumi, can you do me a favor? The plaque just being right there. Can you read what is written there? Praise the Lord. Why did I ask her to read that? This hall is called Bryce Memorial Hall, named after a gentleman, a young man. How old was he? Barely 21. Who died during the First World War. His name was Henry Copeland Bryce. His parents pretty much built this hall in remembrance of him. Now, some of us might feel we have no connection with the First World War. My great-grandfather did not fight in the First World War. But I'm sure there are people from your country that fought in the First World War. You'd be surprised. There is some link to the First World War. For Leicester Uni student, I'm sure so many students from your university fought during the First World War. For most of us at work, many of our colleagues, even if our own relations did not, many of our colleagues have relations that fought in the First World War. And what were they fighting for? Essentially, peace. You look at the story behind the First World War. I love history in that regards. There were certain powers, about six different countries, that formed two groups of threes. And essentially they were flexing muscles. It started with Austria and Serbia. The Archduke, what's his name, Ferdinand, was killed. He was assassinated. And a lot of people said that was the trigger for the First World War. millions and millions and millions lost their lives. It was meant to be a war to end all wars, so they said. But barely 20 years later, 21 years later, there was another war. And even more people died in that war. Thank God we haven't had a war on that scale again. I mean, you think about the Second World War. 6 million Jews were killed. And that's just Jews alone. Millions and millions lost their lives in both wars. The First World War is called the Great War. And, you know, things were put in place. You had the League of Nations after the First World War to ensure that such doesn't happen again. That is what is happening on Tuesday, a remembrance, a memorial for those that lost their lives. Many of the people that died at that point in time, most of us sitting here were older than, or were peers with them. A 21-year-old man, for the sake of peace. It's interesting that, you know, the Memorial Week actually starts from today. I'm sure on Tuesday in most places there will be a 1 minute or a 2 minute silence. I believe their souls are wherever their souls will be. It is 100 years ago since the war started. But they laid their lives for a cause. They laid down their lives for a reason. What are you willing to do with your life? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's fitting that it's the Memorial Week. Why? Because what I want us to look at today has to do with a war in the Bible. If we open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3, 2 Kings chapter 3, please permit me, I would like to read in the KJV version, the King James version. I might struggle with some words, but there's a reason. Bear with me. 2 Kings chapter 3 from verse 6. It says, "And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, 'The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Will you go with me against Moab to battle?' And he said, 'I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as your people, and my horses as your horses.' And he said, 'Which way shall we go up?' And he answered, 'The way through the wilderness of Edom.' So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.' And Jehoshaphat said, 'The word of the Lord is with him.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, 'What have I to do with you? Get thee to the prophets and of thy fathers and to the prophets of your mothers.' And the king of Israel said to him, 'No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward you, nor see thee. And now bring me a minstrel.' And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. And you may drink, that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fall and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells and water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning that when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. And verse 24. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. Praise the Lord. What is this story about? I think it's interesting that we're talking about three kings. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. Like I said, the First World War was as a result of a treaty between three countries. You had on the one hand, you had Britain, I think it was France and Russia. Britain, France, Russia on one hand. On the other hand, you had Austria, Germany, and I can't remember the third country. But so three countries coming together with a treaty. So the issue was, we need to, you know, oblige, we need to keep to our treaty, with the agreement we have. If you attack a country, I'll be there for you. I will support you. If you're doing something, because we have an agreement, Germany was in a position to stop Austria from invading Serbia, but they did not. Perhaps if they had done that, there might not have been a First World War. Who knows? But then treaties are made, treaties are broken. The background of this story is that the king of Moab was supplying livestock to the king of Israel. The king of Israel then was Ahab. Yes, we all know Ahab. The king of Israel was Ahab. Now, when Ahab died, I think it was an opportunity for the king of Moab to, you know, stop. If I have to be giving you livestock and giving you sheep and all, man, it's costing my country. So the king of Moab stopped doing that. And the son of Ahab, Jehoram, now thought to himself, hang on a minute. This guy is breaking an agreement we have. He's meant to be sending livestock and sheep to my country, and he's stopping it. So he's rebelling against me. He's breaking a treaty. What can I do about it? Judah was part of the United Israel previously. So he thought, okay, the guys in Judah, they're my cousins. They're my family. They're my brothers. Let me call on them so that we can go to war together. So he called the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And we know Jehoshaphat is a man who he had a relationship with God. Sometimes his actions could be flawed. So it's like, you know what? Come and go to war with me. This guy is rebelling, he's breaking a treaty we had. So let's go deal with him. And Jehoshaphat, nice guy, says, well, my people are your people, my horses are your horses, everything I have belongs to you. Let's go together. So they embarked on a journey. Along the way, they called on the king of Edom to join them. So three kings going to war, and they marched for 7 days. What happened after 7 days? They were tired. They were really tired. They were faint. There was no water for them. If they had gone to war in that state, they would have probably lost. Now, Jehoshaphat thought to himself, hang on a minute. Isn't there a prophet around here? Verse 11. Verse 11, 2 Kings 3, 11. It says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the land here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, if you think about it, in those days, before you could, there was no direct contact with God. Most people didn't have a direct relationship with God. So to hear what God has to say, they went via mediums, via prophets, via seers. And that was what Jehoshaphat said. Let's call on a man of God. Let's find out from him what God has to say. Thank God that we have direct access to the throne of grace. That's what you see in Hebrews 4:16. You have direct access to the throne of grace. So you don't need a prophet, you don't need a seer, you don't need an evangelist before you can find out what God's mind is. The first thing I find interesting about this story is this. Why wait until 7 days? Why embark on a journey? And then when hard times come, you know, say, hang on a minute, there's actually a God I can talk to and find out what he has to say. I think that was the first flaw that these kings made. And this is why I said, don't wait until you're in a hard place before asking God for help. Why don't you start the journey with God? See, many of us, we embark on journeys and then realize that it's too difficult for us to do on our own. Why don't we start the journey with God? Why don't we, you know, the steps we're going to take, why don't we talk to him about it? Not when it gets difficult. Oh, I'm going to start this new business. Oh, I'm going to start this training. You know, Jesus said that no one builds a house without first counting the cost. If we take time to think about our actions prior to doing it, then we'll realize that we really need God. To make anything work, we need God on our side. Don't wait until, you know, you find yourself in a difficult position. Don't wait until things are becoming challenging before you see God's face. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the other thing that struck me in this story, we're talking about faith that works this month, faith that works. Do you know that faith can be contagious? I'll explain. Because of what I believe and because of the strength of my conviction, even though you might have been afraid about something, the strength of my conviction can encourage you and bolster your faith. Do you believe that? You're thinking it's not going to work, and I'm coming to you and I'm saying, listen, come what may, it will work. We will make it through. We will succeed. I know we will. The more I'm convinced about it, the more I tell you, the greater the likelihood that you'll begin to start believing, hang on a minute, there might actually be hope here. Hang on a minute, we might actually make it through. There might be a way here. Who are the people surrounding us? Who are the people in our lives? Who are the people that are around us? They make a difference. They could be the difference between us succeeding and failing. Jehoram was pretty much like his father, Ahab. And that was why Elisha said, you know what? I have nothing to say to you. If not for Jehoshaphat, I won't even be talking to you. Your father had so many prophets. Your mother, do we know the mother's name? Jezebel. Your father had so many prophets. Your mother had so many prophets. Do we all remember the story about Baal? Or Baal? Yes? Tomato, tomato. Some will say Baal, some will say Baal. But we know the story about the prophets of Baal and Elijah and all that. That was why Elisha was saying, you know what? Why don't you go to the prophets of your fathers and the prophets of your mother? Go talk to them. If not for Jehoshaphat, I won't even be talking to you. Jehoshaphat made a difference. I wonder if Jehoshaphat had not been there, what might have happened? It would have been a lost cause. Not only did Jehoshaphat make a difference, the fact that Elisha was in the land made a difference. Because Elisha had a direct contact with God, he could find out what God's mind was. And these people that were going to battle, they were thinking, what hope is there? We're in a hard place right now. What can we do? And he gave them a word of encouragement. Elisha knew what the outcome was going to be. And he was able to encourage them. You know, don't worry, there's not your cattle, your livestock, they'll be fine. You'll get water to drink. And then you're going to go into battle and you're going to succeed. No doubt about that. And that would have encouraged the people. So one man can make a massive difference. That one person could be you. It could be you in the midst of your colleagues at work. It could be you in your lecture place. You could be that one person that makes a difference in the lives of so many countless others. How do you influence people? I say faith is about dependency on God to perform his word in a nutshell. A word came to these folks. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. If you can do it, all will be well. Praise the Lord. A slight digression. Verse 15 of that 2 Kings says, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Bring me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Have you ever heard people talk about why, you know, it doesn't matter the kind of music you listen to? It's just music. And I ask myself, what is the inspiration behind the music? Why did Elisha want a musician to be playing? He says, while the musician started playing, the hand of God came on Elisha and he gave a prophetic word. He said, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. But then you think about David and Saul. When the Bible talks about an evil spirit being on Saul, it said there was an evil spirit that was on Saul. And whenever, yes, it says an evil spirit from the Lord. Now, it's not that the evil spirit is on God's side, but that God permitted an evil spirit to come on Saul. Why? The Bible, first of all, tells us that the spirit of the Lord left Saul. So if the spirit of the Lord had not left Saul, the evil spirit would not have had a way to operate. It was after the spirit of the Lord left Saul that the evil after the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, that the evil spirit came on him. Now, God permitted that. But the thing was, whenever David played, David was, we call him the sweet psalmist, an harpist. He had an harp, he plays the harp. And whenever David played, the Bible tells us that the evil spirit would lift up from Saul and he would have some respite. Praise the Lord. It says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And I think two instances where music made a difference. So if music, if someone singing, if someone playing songs can make the word of God come concerning an issue, if someone playing music, playing an instrument, can make an evil spirit depart from one, how about the flip side? I would argue that someone singing, someone playing certain instruments can bring evil spirits upon people. I would argue that someone singing, someone playing instruments can stop God's word from reaching people. Do you see where I'm coming from here? Yes? What's the inspiration behind the music? What's the inspiration behind the songs we're listening to? Don't let us just be like one of those people. It's all fun. It's all good. You know, it's just music. It's just Lady Gaga. That lady, she's really Gaga, isn't she? I mean, she's so weird. True or false? I mean, she's the epitome. Oh, you don't know who she is. See, some of us are very spiritual. You know, she's the epitome of weirdness. You know, they say some people have gone gaga, as in weird, crazy. And you call yourself Lady Gaga. It's all good. Praise the Lord. But what is the inspiration behind the music we listen to? And what do you think that music is doing for you? Is the music you're listening to, is it building you up? Some of us will say, oh, we love instrumentals, we love jazz. I grew up loving jazz. I love jazz music. But the inspiration still matters. So what did I do? There are Christian jazz musicians. Come on. That are glorifying God with their instruments. Who is the musician glorifying? Like I said, that is a digression. But something worth noting, and it's something we should think about a bit more. I'm assuming maybe most of us, we don't like music, right? We don't listen to music, or do we? She frowned. How can you not like music, right? I'm sure we all listen to music. Is the music, are they building us up? Praise the Lord. So we see three kings. They're going to war. They've been at it for 7 days, and they remember that actually we can speak to God about this thing. Let's talk to God. Let's see what he has to say. Because one man made a difference. One man inspired them. Let's go and find out from God. And another man acted as the direct contact to God. I said that could be you, that could be me. Now they've found out what God has to say. The man of God, Elisha, listened to the musician playing, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he said, okay, you know what? You're going into battle, but first, this is what God has to say. I think verse 17. Let's take it from 16. It says, thus make this valley. Actually, yes. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. We're going to war. Our ultimate goal, our ultimate aim, is to go and deal with Misha, the king of Moab, for breaking truce with Israel. And you said, okay, dig ditches. Start digging holes in the ground. And it says, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink both you and your cattle and your beasts. Weird. Dig ditches in a dry place. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. But there's going to be water. And there'll be enough water for you, for your cattle, to drink. I'm going to war. I'm going to fight. I can just play back in my mind. The guys that went to, you know, First World War. One day, they were in their lecture rooms in DMU. There was an institute then, during 1914. I think it was the only institute in Leicester. And some students, one day they were in the lecture room. And the next day, they're like, you're going to the war front. Yeah, guns. They give them guns. And then someone comes and says, you know what? Yeah, you're going to fight the enemy. These are the enemies. But the first thing you have to do is, you know, play a game of Jim Rummy. Or, you know, come together and have a sing song when you get to the battlefront. What does that have to do with going to war? Yes, they needed water. This was an immediate need that was going to be addressed. Next verse, please. It says, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. So making water appear from nowhere, it's not a biggie. It's part of, you know, God's been there, he's done that. Parted the water, done it so many times. Made water come out of a rock. Not once, not twice. So making water come out in the dry place is not an issue. It says, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hands. Now, the ultimate goal was to fight the people of Moab. And it was saying, not only would you have water for your cattle, which is a small thing, but he will deliver the Moabites into your hands. So your ultimate goal will be accomplished. Praise the Lord. What is that ultimate goal? What is that ultimate outcome God has for you? Do you know it? Whatever that ultimate goal is, whatever that ultimate outcome is, to be the very best of what God has called you to be, who God has called you to be, he said that you'll accomplish that ultimate goal. But there are other things that might be on the way, like your livestock needing water, like you needing water. And he's saying those little things, they're actually, they're light things. They're not a biggie. They're things that God will, you know, do like that. But your ultimate goal, you would reach, you would accomplish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the interesting thing. We're talking about faith that works. God tells you, you're going to be what, who you're going to be. And that dream, that vision that is given you, you're going to accomplish it. Do you rest on your laurels? Do you rest on your horrors and say, okay, it's all done? Are there things he has asked you to do along the way? You look at these guys. Their success in the war was dependent on digging ditches. Their success in the war was dependent on digging ditches. If you don't dig the ditch, you're not going to win the war. It's weird. Digging ditches for water, for livestock, has nothing to do with success in battle. But the two were tied together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, the kings first had to perform a task. And the task did not relate to the plan they had for themselves. And sometimes God may ask you to do things that don't make sense. It might not make sense to you. Sometimes it might be difficult to see the correlation between what God is saying and what you know. Lord, I've been studying for 10, 15, 20 years. I've learned maths. I know 1 plus 1 in base 10 is 2. Before someone tells me 1 plus 1 is 3. I know 1 plus 1 is 2. I know 2 times 2 is 4. And then someone now comes and says, actually, 1 plus 1 is 10. Hang on a minute, that's not possible. If God says 1 plus 1 is 10, 1 plus 1 is 10. Sometimes God's reality might not correlate with what we think or how we think things should be. And that's where faith comes in. If those kings did not, I mean, the statement itself, dig ditches, those ditches are going to be filled with water, but you're not going to see any wind, so the wind is not going to blow any clouds. You're not going to see any rain, but there will be water. I think that is enough for them to say, why bother? It's not realistic. It's not realistic, so why should we bother? If they did not dig the ditches, the water would now have come. If the water did not come, they would not have been strengthened for battle, and they would have lost the battle. The interesting thing is how God made the battle work out. The water was not just for them to drink and be satisfied. The water influenced the thoughts, the perception of the enemy. So the Moabites, what did they see? They saw blood. Where there was water, they saw blood. And the blood told them there's infighting. So the king of Israel has turned on the king of Judah. And the king of Moab has turned on the king of Israel. And they fought themselves. They've killed themselves. Look at all the blood flowing. Man, thank goodness I did. You know, the battle is done. Let's just go in. Let's go get the spoils of war. They let down their guards and went into the camp. They got there only to find, lo and behold, the kings they thought were dead were very much ready for them. You can imagine the shock, the fear, the confusion that would have come on the Moabites. 1 minute they're thinking, you know, the war is over. Let's just go and get the goodies. And the next minute they see men in arms, you know, facing them. Confusion set in. They started running. And the three kings chased them and beat them up. The water was not just for drinking. It was a strategy God put in place. But they didn't know that. That is faith in action. What are the ditches God has asked you to dig? What are the little things He's asked you to do? Those little things, you know, you talk about a ripple effect. Those little things could make tremendous impacts to the direction your life takes, to the courses you pursue, to the way things happen for you. How do you dig your ditch? Get a shovel. Take one scoop at a time. I remember growing up and seeing folks digging wells. And you wonder, from a playing ground, they start making a round hole, possibly about a meter in diameter. And after a while, you see, you know, they're digging and digging, and one person is getting a pill and pulling out the dirt. And after a while, you see a 6-foot man, and you can't see his head anymore. And they make holes by the side and keep going down and going down. And they put a pulley system to pull up the dirt. And you have a well that is so deep that you can't see the bottom. But it started from one scoop. So what is that one scoop God is asking you to take to dig your ditch? There's a famous, a wonderful book by John Ortberg. It says, if you want to walk on water. Has anyone read it? If you want to walk on water, Basically, if you want to walk on water, you need to step out of the boat. You need to take that step, that initial step, that first action. If you want to see God's wonders, if you want to see God's plan for your life, then you need to take that first step of digging the ditch. Shall we pray? Shall we rise to our feet? What is that ditch that God is expecting you to dig? He has an ultimate goal, an ultimate outcome for you. But he's saying that there's some wells, there's some ditches that need to be dug, that waters will come from somewhere that is unclear. But he says it's a light thing for me to do. It's not a tedious thing for me to do. You need to start digging the ditch. This month we're looking at faith that works. Lord, help me to exercise my faith. It might not make sense to me. I'm not sure what this ditch is, but help me. Help me to start. Help me to take that first step. People might laugh at me. People might think I'm being weird, but help me to take that bold step. Last night, I watched a film called Heaven's Almighty about a man that God literally told to build an ark. You think Noah, in a land where there's been no water, says build a massive ark. Build a massive ark that will take scores and scores and thousands of animals. Downright ridiculous. People will laugh at you. People will scorn you. But if you do what God is asking you to do, God will come through for you. It is those people that will laugh at you that will come back and laugh with you. It is those people that are scorning you that will come back and rejoice with you. Maybe you're here, you find it challenging. You know what God is saying, but you find it challenging to act on the word. It just so confounds you. You can't make head or tail of it. And there's something holding you back that will not let you commit to God's word. God has spoken a word to you. He has said, start digging a ditch because the water will come. But you can't get around to digging that ditch. If you're here today and you want us to pray with you, please can I see a show of hands with all eyes closed? God is saying, start digging a ditch, but it is a challenge. You can't get around to it. You know God is saying something to you, but something is holding you back. Everlasting Father, we just bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, because we know that your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Lord God, help us to trust in you. Come what may, help us to worship you. Irrespective of the seasons, irrespective of the times, even when the fig tree is not blossoming, help us to rejoice in you as our God. Help us to act on your word for us, O God, that we will accomplish our ultimate goals, that we will be who you have called us to be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Dear God, I pray for your children as we go into a new week. Lord, perfect all that concerns them in Jesus' name. Your word says that the expectations of the righteous man will not be dashed. I pray, Father, for each and every one of your children, because our righteousness is of you, that our expectations will not be dashed in the mighty name of Jesus. That thing we're trusting you for, that we're working on, we pray for headway in the mighty name of Jesus, that in our lives you will cause testimonies to abound in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your children that have not been feeling well in the past week. We thank you for perfect health. We give you all the praise, Father, as we continue into the day and into the new week. Continue with us to your glory in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we share the grace in fellowship?